How much progress are we really making on the gender gap? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. First to China, where President Xi Jinping made a highly anticipated speech marking the 40th anniversary of reforms aimed at opening his country's economy to the rest of the world. In that time, China has grown from the 10th largest global economy to the second biggest. But nearly a year into a trade spat with the United States, he has a warning.
All the theories and practice of our party in the past 40 years of reform and opening up are based on one and the same theme, upholding and advancing socialism with Chinese characteristics. No one is in a position to dictate to the Chinese people what should or should not be done.
So where does China go from here? Here's Miranda Carr, China macro strategist at Haitong Securities.
There has been extraordinary progress. I mean, if you think of back to the 1970s, where basically China, its economy, all its industries, its entire monetary system was basically closed to the outside world. Now we've got foreign ownership, you've got foreign brands going in, and obviously a lot of travel. But the fact it's opened up so far is not seen as enough. It needs to do more and go into the sort of next stage and become sort of a global citizen rather than just opening up its own domestic economy.
And President Xi Jinping today in his address said China will continue to open up, but he said the key to development lies in the Communist Party and that no one could dictate what it should or shouldn't do. Clearly, the U.S. is trying to do that to some degree. Was his message directed at the Trump administration, do you think?
Well, I think it's very important for Xi to frame everything which is happening in China's domestic context. And, you know, the Communist Party having control, being responsible for the last 40 years of growth, and then being in the future being held accountable for it. So, if you like, this was China's China First policy to counter the America First policy.
So while China has become the world's second biggest economy, there are real concerns about its mounting debt load. How does the country balance that with continued desire for stronger growth in the face of slowing growth there and in the rest of the world?
Well, again, reform would be helpful for the international markets, but it would also be helpful for China because it's facing really, really strong economic headwinds. There's high levels of debt in the corporate, household and government sector. So every single bit of the economy is pretty much leveraged up. And that constrains growth. They're talking about tax cuts, which are helpful. But it's almost like one of the things that China can do is reform and restructure its industries and actually create new channels of growth. But it obviously has to make quite significant changes, both to the sort of political structures and the sort of economic structures to manage that. And whether it's going to do that and whether she's going to push that through is the key question for this week.
Miranda Carr there. Let's do the numbers. President Xi's speech has disappointed investors who were expecting specific measures to boost the economy. Stock markets across Asia were down. Meanwhile, the Japanese government has lowered its growth forecasts for this year and next amid ongoing trade tensions. And there's no sign of a Santa Claus rally yet in Europe either. All the leading indices fell at the open. Now, in the last hour, UK soccer club Manchester United fired its manager. They're not just one of the biggest names in soccer, but one of the world's most recognizable brands and a powerful entertainment business. The BBC's Will Bain has more.
Jose Mourinho, the Portuguese manager of Manchester United, was sacked this morning after 2.5 years in charge. Final straw for the Manchester United board of directors appears to be this weekend's 3-1 humbling to their big rivals, Liverpool. Now, that might sound like a sports story, but actually that is a really important business story because the top four teams in the English Premier League qualify for what's called the European Champions League, the European Cup, where the biggest teams in Europe, Barcelona, Real Madrid, normally Manchester United, play, and they play for huge amounts of money. So, for example, this year, the pot, just for qualifying, the 32 teams that are in that competition share $2.28 billion. You then get around $60 million more in TV revenues, and you get prize money for every match that you win. So this is huge amounts of money to the club, and so the fact that Manchester United look like they're going to miss out on qualifying for that has meant that the board needs to change direction.
And there is a US connection with the team.
Yeah, a couple. One, Manchester United listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and their shares fell slightly yesterday. We'll see when futures trading opens today what the response to the change at the top is. But they're also owned by the Glazer family, who people across the US might know as owning, among other things, the NFL franchise, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's the BBC's Will Bain. The gender gap has narrowed in 2018, but new research from the World Economic Forum shows there are still more men than women in the workforce. Sadia Zahidi is head of social and economic agendas at the WEF. She says a shifting job market is partly to blame.
Technology is changing how we work, where we work, and what that means is administrative assistants, customer service workers, these are roles that are being displaced. The second reason is growth in roles which tend not to have a very strong talent pipeline that is female. IT-related roles, AI skills, big data specialists. A third aspect is the burden of most care responsibilities and unpaid work in the home is still primarily falling on women's shoulders.
So Iceland, interestingly, has closed its gender gap by more than 85%, and it sits at the top of the rankings for the 10th straight year. Starting at the beginning of this year, the country made it illegal to pay men and women differently. But as we can see, there's a gap that still persists. So how do we solve this problem?
You know, the Prime Minister of Iceland in a recent speech said that about a decade ago, maybe less than 10% of men were taking paternity leave. Now, about 90% of men take some form of paternity leave. So it's really about consistency and having sort of bold policy choices that actually try to change how societies are organized. And ultimately, that's a win-win.
Sadia Zahidi there. And finally, still shopping around for a last-minute Christmas gift? How about a 522-carat diamond described as fancy yellow? The Canadian rock is the biggest diamond ever found in North America. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.